And I'll pray. Lord, we're thankful to have your word open in front of us. And we pray this morning as we seek you in your word that we would hear from you. We pray the children downstairs would hear as they look at your word as well. Help all of us, Lord, to grow in our knowledge and understanding of you and your ways, and that we would know of your love and your grace and grow in faith. And Lord, we pray that you would be honored by this time as we turn our attention to you and specifically to your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we are going through Jesus' teaching as we go through the book of Luke. And a reminder, Jesus is proceeding towards Jerusalem at this point. The cross is getting closer and closer. But as we carry on through the book of Luke, we're still going through a lot of Jesus' teaching, his teaching to the disciples, his teaching to the crowds, his interactions with the religious leaders. And most recently, we've looked at Jesus' teaching on beware of hypocrisy. Don't be actors. Don't wear a mask. Taught about the fear of God. Don't fear the one who can kill the body, like say persecution, kill the body and then can do nothing else. Like that's all they can do. We would kind of think, well, that's the worst. But God's perspective is, oh, yeah, that is the worst they can do. And then nothing else. There's no hold on, can't affect eternity. But fear the one who can affect your eternity, the one who rightfully can pass judgment on a person, on a soul. So fear God, not people. Confessing Christ, we looked at, so not being ashamed of him. We want to be those who stand to be counted for Christ. If we fail like Peter did at one point, repent, confess, and then stand and be counted, right? Be restored. We finished off looking at the parable of the rich man or the rich fool. And he had so much he didn't know what to do with it all, so he decided he got a plan to build bigger storehouses and store up more for himself. And he forgot, one, that he didn't control the number of his days. And God said, this is it. And he invested in the wrong. His priorities were wrong when it came to investing. He invested in the material and for himself, well, from a worldly perspective, but he did not invest in the things of God. And verse 21, where we finished, it says this, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So with the rich fool, the really big problem with him is he was not rich towards God at all. It was very one-sided. He invested in his kingdom and forgot about God's kingdom. And that is foolish. So, and we're going to carry on from there. So now verse 22. Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they never neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouses nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And we heard that last week as well. We're of more value than sparrows. Who God looks after. 25, and which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? And Jesus is saying this in the sense of, by worrying you can't even add to your height, and that's easy, is the sense of it. If you then are not able to do the least, like the little things, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? So in all of this is said, Jesus says this in light of what he just talked about previously. So the parable of the rich fool and the fact that those who lay up treasure for themselves and are not rich towards God are not wise. And then he says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. So the main point here is have faith in God. Don't worry about things. And that's easy to say, but it is a little harder to do. There's lots of things we might say, lots of things that we are at least prone to worrying about, being anxious about, stressing about all this, all these different things we experience that are not faith and peace. And so certainly we are prone to this. Worrying about this might happen or that might happen or that's going to be this, all this stuff. How are we going to be either provide or be provided for? And there are all these questions, and yet Jesus says, don't worry about these things. I believe, we're prone to go, yeah, I hear that, it's clear, I understand, I'm not to worry, and then we say, but there's this, this, and this. And we're not going to take the time this morning to address all the this, that, and the other thing. We'll just look at the basic of God says, don't worry. And so if we find ourselves worrying, then it's a matter of going, well, why am I worrying or stressing or anxious, and what can be done about that? One thing is to understand what God says and that he is faithful. So God says, I saw last week, I look after the sparrows. I value them. You are of more value than them. Here, look at the birds. He even cares about the grass, the lilies, all these things, and the emphasis is, and you are more important than these things. Will not God also look after you, your needs, your food, your shelter, and so on? So that's one. One, God cares, and God has said he'll look after it. So know that. Second thing, worrying doesn't help at all. Not one little bit. I like the way Jesus puts it. You can't even By worrying, can you add a cubit to your stature? No. But it said, like, well, God can do things like that. It's no problem. He decided it for you. So know God is faithful and what he has promised, and then know that worrying and being stressed does not help. It's not saying it's not saying don't care or don't pay attention to things. But here's a question: while you're anxious or while I'm worrying, am I at the same time also trusting God? Do those two things go together? I would say they don't. Proverbs 5, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. So trust him, acknowledge him in everything. So include him in everything. I'll speak for myself. I do think if I'm worried and stressed, usually linked to control, lack of control, not being able to control something, certainly does not partner with trust, trusting God. So I know when I'm in that place, the way out of it is to turn and go, hey, trust God. Again, it's easier to talk about than it is to do it. But yeah, we do need to understand what God says and what God's promises so that we can take steps in the right direction and be transformed, to be people of trust and peace. This is what God promises that we can have. So, in 28, the last of it that we read, oh, you of little faith. So it does come down to faith. Whether it's fear, anxiety, worry. When we're there, it's going, oh, here I am. How can I move to faith instead? Which is taking our eyes off the thing, whatever that is, and putting them on the Lord. 29. And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. Think about that. You're not to have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. God knows what we need. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Again, God really does care, and he knows. Last week, remember we looked, he knows the number of hairs on your head. Right? The details, that does that even matter? Well, it matters enough that God knows the number. You are highly valued. This is important to, it's important to know and understand. The enemy would love to condemn and accuse and have everyone in this room and in the church in general have to feel condemned and have low self-worth. Every one of us is highly valued by God beyond what we can even grasp. This is something to know. It's important we seek or pursue the right thing or things in life and have the variety of things in the right order of priority. So God first, and everything else flowing out of that. And there's certainly a message here from Jesus. Don't commit all your time to pursuing what I've promised to give you. And that is something I think the world certainly promotes, is the overemphasis on pursuing things that God has promised that he will supply what we need. And that doesn't mean, not to take it to crazy extremes, like don't have a job, don't work, make no plans, drift through, no. Seek the Lord. Take guidance from him. Seek to know the whole counsel of God and apply it to life. But in this, certainly in this area, don't get bogged down in worry and stressing and anxious. Do not have an anxious mind. If you have an anxious mind, don't you think it would be so freeing to not have an anxious mind? I could look and go, to never have an anxious mind would be a wonderful thing. This is something God desires. When Jesus says, do not have an anxious mind, it does mean his desire for us is that we don't have an anxious mind. So that means it's possible to have peace and trust in him. It does require faith. So looking at something and going, this isn't how I want it to be, at least as far as I can see it, but yet I'm trusting God. Or God, show me how to trust you in this and not be anxious or fearful. And really the key, and Jesus talks about it, and we'll carry on talking about it, but is to not focus on those things we want to focus on, the worry and stress and fear, but focus on him. To seek the kingdom. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, your Father knows that you need these things, but seek the kingdom of God. All these things shall be added to you. So seeking him. Isaiah 26:3 says this, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Stayed, focused. Because he trusts in you. So with focus, with trust comes peace. But that focus and that trust, it has to be in God, in him. And I love Isaiah 26:3. The one whose mind is stayed, I think it's stay the course. Like focusing on him, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and stick with that, stick with him. The worry and all these things, it comes when we're, I'll speak for myself, when I'm looking over here at this thing, I'm going, I don't like that. I want it different, I'm powerless to change it or feel that way. And the worry comes, the stress. What if this happens? What if that happens? So like taking the eyes off of that, or the eyes of the mind off of that, and wrestling it. And focusing on the Lord. Look at his promises. Go to Isaiah 26:3, Philippians 4:6-7, and other places. And this is going, okay, here's the lie. Worrying is going to change something. Here's the truth. I need to trust God that he's faithful. So faith, not fear or anxiety or worry. Actively seek God. Actively seek the kingdom of God, the things of God. So what does that look like? Well, claiming or going to God's promises. That's one way. It certainly is putting God first, like the love the Lord your God first and foremost. Then put others before self, love your neighbor as yourself. Taking thoughts captive. It's like, that's not a God glorifying, Christ honoring thought. I'm going to take it captive, as in resist it, stop running it through my mind. And I'm going to not just stop, because if we just try and stop, it's going to come back in probably 10 seconds or something like that. Or very quickly, or be replaced with something else to worry about. Take it captive, push it away and replace it with something else, like seeking God. Scripture. If this is a struggle, like having an anxious mind or a worrisome mind is a struggle, memorize scripture related to it. So you've got the thing going on. Notice, Lord help me. Push that out of the mind, but replace it immediately with God's word, with his truth. That's fighting the battle. There's a spiritual battle going on. The world, the flesh, the enemy, all wants to take us away from staying our mind on the Lord. So battle back. And that's, you can't go wrong with bringing God's word into the battle. Sword of the Spirit. So seeking first the kingdom. This is something that we each make when we choose to follow Christ, repent, put our faith in him. It's like a fundamental choice. We choose to seek him and seek his kingdom. Along with that, it's an everyday choice to seek the kingdom, to seek God's kingdom. In our Christian life, we'll either, grow in that and reinforce that, or it will show that, we're struggling to make that decision. And as God sanctifies us and transforms us, this will bear more and more fruit all through our lives, that we are more and more submitted to him and seeking for first his kingdom and not our own. And that really is the battle. Whose kingdom are we primarily trying to advance? Ours or the Lord's? But I really like where he talks about, do not have an anxious mind. There's one to take away. God doesn't want us to be in that spot of worry and anxiety. There's victory. There's victory available. I've got it underlined. It's a good one. So we need to know these things, because the enemy will just subtly, or just how we're programmed, kind of by the world. Oh, it's okay, if I don't worry, I'm not going to be able to pay attention. Well, there's a better way. Take it to the Lord. How about talking to the Lord about things rather than just running it through my mind? I am speaking to myself as well. Before 31. Remember, seek God first, seek his kingdom first. The other things will fall in line, is what Jesus is saying. If we try and make everything in life fall in line and then seek the Lord, we're not going to get around to seeking the Lord, because we can't do most of the stuff anyways. So seek him first, take his direction and counsel on everything else. 32, do not fear, little flock. Do not fear, little flock. Like the way Jesus addresses them is, there's certainly some care there. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms, which means to give. Provide yourselves money bags, which do not grow old. A treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I do want to clarify that the Bible doesn't say we can't have any things, or that we shouldn't work or provide. Or we see many people in Scripture that were blessed with abundance, many that didn't have as much abundance that is in stuff. That's not really the point. Those things are what they are, to some degree at least. But where is our heart? Like, do we seek the Lord or not? And 34 is so important. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What do we really treasure? What do we hold the most dear in life? So Jesus says, sell what you have, be giving or generous. It's in contrast. Think he's talked about the rich fool. He kept everything. It was all about acquiring and acquiring more and way more than he needed. And that was his focus. And he was not rich towards God. So in contrast to him, it's like better to not have that at all than have your heart in the wrong place. I would certainly say the Bible is pretty clear. Don't hang on to stuff too tight. Have the right perspective. The stuff is fuel for the fire in the end anyhow. Ultimately, it is. Sorry, your house might be nice, but moth and rust, and if not that, or the carpenter ants in my house, but but in the end, there'll be a new heavens and a new earth. This is all going to be gone. Like, we're to have the right perspective on things. Don't focus so much on storing treasures on earth. And if I could put it this way, don't treasure the treasure or the stuff. Like, it is what it is. Our treasure should be those things which are eternal in advance. Store up treasure in heaven. Invest in the kingdom of God, in people, the gospel, being disciples. And there's lots of things to do in life in regards to the different roles we have in life. But keep it in the right perspective. Don't hang on too tight, especially to the stuff. So treasures, make sure what we treasure in our heart is the right thing, the things of God. Do as he directs. And understand that, as Jesus said, it pleases God to give us the kingdom of God, which is so much richer than any kingdom on earth. Let's look at Romans 8 and let's see, verse 15. Jumping into the middle of a quite a passage here, so it's hard to know where to jump in sometimes, but I just want you to see something. So verse 15, Romans 8. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Well, there's a thing with fear and anxiety and so on. But you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So this wasn't even my point, but we got to address it. When it comes to worry and so on, we're adopted into God's family. He's our Father. He loves us. Will he not look after us? As Jesus said, the Father knows you need these things. That we're in his family. We are adopted. We're his children. 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. This is where I was going with this, is that we are heirs. We are heirs of God. And then to add even more emphasis, joint heirs with Christ. Wow. It pleases God to give you the kingdom. Adopted into his family. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. And I do believe one of the things Jesus is trying to communicate in what we've gone over is if God will look after the biggest things, will he not also look after the so-called small things that we tend to look at as being big? Our eternal future is secure. Will he not also, as a loving father, walk us through whatever we're going through day by day? So, and then Jesus says, sell what you have and give alms. So it's really speaking to you. Don't focus on self and storing up treasure, but be generous. Let the Lord direct that generosity. And it's certainly a cure for, last week we looked at coveting. Jesus addressed that. So a cure for coveting, one of them is to be generous. Instead of focusing on what we don't have, even though we have enough, how about be generous to someone who has less? So back, before we move on to the main point here, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. And that's the one we've got to check on. What do I treasure in my heart? My things are the things of God. At 35, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. Then, if he puts it this way, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. So be ready. Be prepared. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master, when he will return from the wedding, and when he comes and knocks, that they may open to him immediately. So be ready, be prepared. Blessed are those servants who the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and has them sit down to eat, and him will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants, the ones who are found prepared, no matter what the time. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So be ready. Jesus will return. It's going to happen. Now, whether he returns or whether our days are finished, it will come. Certainly, the Bible teaches to live with an expectancy. The New Testament does of Jesus' return. My strong belief is that he's going to catch up his church. It's going to come at an hour we do not know. We don't. If anyone tells you they know, stop listening to them. Or correct them nicely, but don't plan anything around that. No one knows the day or the hour. And I have had people tell me, I know it says that, however, we can know the day or the hour because of this, 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 and I generally check out. I don't check out. But it's like, no, he says, I kind of check out. No one knows the day or the hour, it means that. I believe. I certainly believe no matter how deep you go into the Hebrew, the Greek, or whatever, it's going to mean something other than that. Many have been proven wrong on this. So we don't know the day or the hour. And the point is, like describing the Jewish wedding and the groom coming, and it's like, be ready. Even with a thief coming. If the owner of the house knew when the thief was coming, he wouldn't be sleeping. So don't be asleep at the switch kind of thing. Be ready. So one thing that's important is to know that Jesus will return. To have at least some sense of urgency there, that this is a thing. Because if we're going, I'm only giving it like 3% chance, I don't really have to be that with it. That's a poor attitude to have. We're not, it's not about getting kind of crazy and weird about stuff, but be hopeful. Like, we should hope for his return. And be like, wouldn't it be awesome to be that generation when Christ returns? Incredible. It may not happen. It might be 1,000 years. I don't know. It might be tomorrow. Will we be prepared? And those who are found ready will be blessed. And it really goes back to seek his kingdom first. If we're doing that, we will be those who are ready. All right, our last section here. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. To those who are faithful, more will be given. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Be cut off. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. It's not a big seeker-sensitive passage here. But he who did not know yet committed these committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few, although it is better to know little in that sense. That sense only. Shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. So Peter asks, is this for us or everyone? And in Jesus' answer we see, well, it's everyone, but here's the thing, to those who, everyone will give an account before the Lord. Those who have more, who understand more, who have experienced more with the Lord, will be held accountable for more. So those servants who know better, like really know, there's more accounting. So we've all been given much. And are we the faithful servants who keep seeking God, who have a sense of my Lord's going to return one day, I want to be ready? It's not like we're perfect, we know that. But is this even a desire? Is it on the radar for us? I want to be ready. I don't want to be caught off guard. I want to heed Jesus' direct instruction. If we do want that, you know, the Lord's going to work with that. There is a very serious danger that Jesus points out, that if we are overly casual and if we kind of go, I've got lots of time to get life in order and really commit to following God, that that's a dangerous place to be. And we could very well get caught off guard and have consequences for that. You can't escape that in the text. And so the main point is, it's not focusing on what exactly are all those consequences. It should be, I don't want any consequences. I want to honor God. So how can I do that? So seek first his kingdom. Live in expectation of meeting him face to face, standing before him. As believers, we won't face the judgment if our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is the Bema seat, there is the kind of an accounting of rewards. And it matters, how we live matters. We'll finish looking at one passage here. 1 Corinthians 3, 9 to 15, I believe, describes this well. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So he is our foundation. And there can only be one foundation. It's either we have the foundation or we don't have a foundation at all. Verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which is built on it endures, he will receive a reward. So that's what we talk about. So this isn't a accounting and judgment. It's an accounting and reward thing. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. Yet so as through fire. I don't know how doctrinal this is, but I've heard it put, some in heaven will smell a bit like smoke. Singed a bit in the fire. I'm sure that's not the case. However, we see Jesus is a foundation. We choose day by day how we build on that foundation. We can choose to use wood, hay, or straw, or gold, silver, precious stones. Wood, hay, and straw are things of the flesh and so on that do not honor and glorify God, not things of the kingdom, not fitting at all into that. Or gold, silver, and precious stone, which are those things as we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and live in obedience to him. So with being prepared and being ready, I like to have this picture in my mind of day by day, living life, building on the foundation with, we can ask the question, am I using gold, silver, and precious stones, or is it wood, hay, and straw? And of course, we want it to be gold, silver, and precious stones, which is storing up treasures in heaven. These things will advance. They will survive. The other things will become ash. But the picture is they won't advance. It's not storing up treasure in heaven. So it's awesome to understand that we can store up treasure in heaven, and here's how. Build with the things of God. Live in obedience to him. Grow in relationship with him. And let's just pick one thing. There's lots of things, but here's one. Getting bogged down in worry and stress and anxiety, I would say, is wood, hay, or straw. Taking that captive and going, no, I'm not going to keep running that through my mind. I'm going to take, say, Isaiah 26:3. I'm going to stay my mind on God. I'm going to focus on Jesus. I'm going to pray and go to his word and ask for help. That's gold, silver, and precious stones. There's one example, and we could find many. So let's pray that the Lord would help us be those who build wisely on the solid foundation of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. And as we have gone through this portion of it, we pray that your spirit would impress upon us specific things from you, like directly from you to each person here. Lord, what would you have us learn and understand, apply in our lives, that we might be those wise and faithful servants, that we might build with gold, silver, and precious stone upon the precious foundation of Jesus. We thank you for your grace. We pray for grace for this week coming up. Whatever you have in store for us, Lord, we pray that we would participate in it, honor and glorify you, be your ambassadors, and be people of faith. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you, everyone. Have a blessed afternoon and week ahead. If anyone would like prayer, come on up to the front on my left, please.